Hello, this is Chaim Goodman Strauss. I'm just recording a little preamble and a little apology for the sound quality on this week's episode. We were on an international phone line, and there's a strange echo which couldn't be helped. So if you'll just bear with us, sit back and enjoy the show. Thanks.
Good morning. This is Sunday Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Chaim Goodman Strauss.
Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, Chaim. And once again on the phone from Genoa is our friend Jeff Weeks. Jeff, how you doing?
That's fine. How are you guys doing?
Very good. You gave us a bit of a dimensional puzzle last Sunday morning. Now, this was the game Asteroids. For those of you over a certain age, you remember the arcade game. You had these kind of LED rocks hurtling at your ship, and you could blast them or duck and miss them. But if objects went off the screen left, they came back on the right side of the screen. If they went off the screen at the top, they'd quickly come back on the screen at bottom. And the question was,
what if you took this asteroids board and actually bent it around and made these connections, what sort of surface would you end up with? And last week we discussed the sphere and the surface of a donut and the surface of a two-hole donut and so on down the line. So the question is, which one is it?
Well, it seems like a
It does seem like a sphere to me, so, because if you're going on the bottom and you're quickly coming up the top or left or right, I would think you're just kind of going around.
Okay, I guess there's no substitute for actually doing it, I guess. If you imagine you took a piece of paper.
Oh, wait, everybody pull over your cars and get out a piece of paper.
I don't know. Yeah, no traffic accidents here.
Okay, I've got a piece of paper right here.
Got a here, piece Kyle. Of paper.
All
okay,
right.
Great. So you can bend it around and actually connect the left side and the right side.
Yeah.
And so what do you got?
Kind of got a cylinder.
Super. Okay. Now, with the paper, this is where, you know, topology and rubber sheet geometry comes in. With the paper, connecting with the top of the cylinder to the bottom is a little tricky because the paper just get all, oh, I can hear the paper crinkling already.
Okay. I've done that. Yeah. More
okay.
Or less.
But if it were made of rubber, it'd be a little smoother. You could take that cylinder and bend it right around so it looks like a piece of elbow macaroni for a moment, and then it keeps going on around, and you've got a...
Well, now what I've done kind of looks like a beer can.
Hey, okay.
So
if
it's
you
not
imagine, kind of like, instead of being paper, a beer can, if you think of it as like a piece of garden hose, which is also a cylinder.
Right.
And bend it around so you can hook one end of the hose to the other end of the hose.
So it beats like a hoop.
Yeah, so it'd be kind of like a hoop.
Yeah. What's interesting is when you do this, it makes so much sense. You know, when I was putting it together, you said left to right and then top to bottom.
Yeah.
Of course. But when I was just trying to visualize it.
Well, it's outside of, you know, ordinary intuition.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think that's how a lot of geometry gets done. A lot of topology is, you know, you have the theory, which is all well and good, but when it really comes down to brass tacks, you take a lot of these questions and you just do the constructions and cut things, paste things, see what you get, and build some intuition from there.
No, okay, so what about the higher dimensional version of all of this? What was the Poincaré conjecture?
The Poincaré conjecture is basically the three-dimensional version of what's a pretty simple observation in two dimensions. On those two-dimensional surfaces, if say you want to go from Genoa to Arkansas, then you can lay out a path over the North Atlantic, or you can map out a path over the South Atlantic, but you can take one path and just kind of slide it over to line up with the other one. But on any of the other surfaces, for example, on the donut surface, if you have a path that goes clockwise around the donut and another path that goes counterclockwise around the donut, there's no way to slide one to the other while you're staying on that donut surface. So in that sense, the donut is multiply connected because there's multiple ways to get from one place to another, while the sphere is simply connected. And the Poincaré conjecture, it sounds deceptively simple, but it just says that amongst possible three-dimensional universes, that a hypersphere is the only simply connected one.
Hypersphere.
Ah, yes. Okay. It's kind of like a sphere, but in the next dimension up. So if you imagine, say you start in Lineland for one-dimensional people.
Okay.
Okay. If their universe, rather than being a straight line, if it bends around into a circle, Mm-hmm. Their circle is kind of like the one-dimensional version of a sphere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
From there, if you go to an ordinary spherical surface, that's two-dimensional, so two-dimensional people could live on it. And then if you keep going to a hypersphere, that's a sphere, kind of like a sphere for us three-dimensional people.
So let's see if we can imagine this. So basically, no matter which direction you go off, you'd come back from the other direction.
Exactly.
Right? So maybe if it were a very small hypersphere universe, maybe you'd go 50 feet in any direction
yeah.
and come back exactly from the opposite direction.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
And we should mention the reason we're talking about this.
Right. Right. So this conjecture was around for, what, about 100 years now? 102 years, was
yeah.
it? Something like that. And resisted the efforts of dozens, if not hundreds, of mathematicians. And famous ones, too. And suddenly was solved just a couple of years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. And by Perelman, who won the Fields Medal, which is, you know, one of the most prestigious prizes in all of science. Your own work has been pretty interesting the last few years. It's been about the actual shape of the actual universe. Does the Poincaré conjecture have any implications for that?
Actually not, because the universe as we observe it seems pretty close to flat, you know, if not flat, just a tiny bit spherical, but it seems very uniform in the part we can see. So this means that if we're seeing, in effect, seeing all the way around the universe, that we could detect that it were finite, then it would mean that its curvature is constant. And for universes with constant curvature, the Poincaré conjecture has been known for a long time.
So it's really possible that we could, you know, with our telescopes, we wouldn't see the Earth because, you know, to see billions of light years around, you know, it takes billions and billions of years for the light to travel. We could possibly see the exact spot where the Earth is now.
Yeah, so you'd see like the, you know, primordial hydrogen clouds of hydrogen gas forming to make our galaxy.
And since we could see the atoms that now make us, you know.
Yeah.
That's really crazy.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, there is some tentative evidence that the universe might indeed be finite.
If the universe is finite, is there anything outside the universe?
Excellent question.
Oh, okay.
I think philosophers have wrestled with that for thousands of years.
Well, you know, it's a deep philosophical question, but the best answer I've ever heard to this came from a fourth grader.
Hmm.
That I was in a classroom doing some of these activities with the kids, and their assignment was doing some stuff with Lineland. So they had these Linelanders lined up there, and then they made a circular universe so the one on the end could come around and visit the one on the far end, because otherwise they couldn't reach each other. And at that point, one of the kids in the class got a little disturbed. He said, "Oh, hold on, we're talking about Lineland, and Lineland's supposed to be one-dimensional, but a circle is two-dimensional." And, you know, I understood what the problem was, but I was just at a loss for words and how to explain this. And then another kid in the class piped up, "Look at the chalk and ignore the chalkboard."
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly the right idea, is just to meditate on that phrase, "Look at the chalk and ignore the chalkboard." So the kid was saying, look at the chalk that makes the circle, that one-dimensional circle of chalk. Ignore the 2D blackboard. So it's the same deal for us, that if we, even if, say, we live in a hypersphere, so the three-dimensional surface of a four-dimensional ball, you'd say, well, what's outside? Well, look at the chalk and ignore the chalkboard. Look at that three-dimensional sphere, but don't pay any attention to any sort of four-dimensional space that it might sit in, because there isn't one. It's hard for us to imagine a sphere without something for it to sit in, but Mother Nature doesn't suffer from that limitation.
Just doesn't exist.
Just isn't part of the universe.
So the next time I wake up at 2:15 and that question is bothering me, I'm just going
to
think, only chalk.
Yeah.
Look at the chalkboard.
Look at the chalk, ignore the chalkboard, go back to sleep, get a good night's rest.
Thank you very much, Jeff, for explaining this to our listeners. Jeffrey Weeks is a freelance geometer, author of the Shape of Space book and the Shape of Space video, Exploring the Shape of Space. Those are available from Key Curriculum Press for middle school students. You might also check out his website, geometrygames.org, which has really some really wonderful little bits of software for goofing around with this sort of thing. And
he joined us from Genoa.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, Jeff.
Avoid the Vespas.
Thanks. Okay. Good advice. Thanks. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.